Now we're holding on Crawford Bay's 11 lines from the bottom. The Mishnah had said that among the people who are chay of malchus, again we were talking about various things involving the grooming and things having to do with the body, was v'amasaret sricha achas v'cholo. The Mishnah had described when a person makes one scrape on his skin because of a grief over a mess, then he's chay. And the Mishnah had gone on to say that if he does one sricha, one gash like that for five mesim, or five gashes for one mes, then he's chayiv individually for each one. So the Gemara says, Tanan Abanan, v'seret. Now the pasuk goes like this: v'seret lo nefesh lo sitnu b'v'sarchen. You're not allowed to make a seret in your skin, a gash in your skin for a soul, for a person who died. Then you have by the Kohenim, the Torah also says Rav Sodom lo yisutu sarotes, that it says that they're not allowed to make gashes on their skin. And other than that, you have a different pasuk that says lo yisis goydidu, don't make gidya on yourselves and don't pull out your hair lo meis for a dead person. So the Gemara is going to discuss the purpose of these three psukim, what we're learning from each one, and also about gidya versus srita in Parshas Kedoshim. By the Jewish people in general, and in Parshas Emor, by the Kohenim, it uses the word seret or sorotes, whereas in Parshas Re'eh it says tisgodidu, which is a different shodesh, so we're going to discuss that point also. So Tana Rabbanan, the seret, when the pasuk says, and a gash, so you would think that you're also to do any gash on the skin at all, yochal afilu sorat al beisish enough of afsfinasa shetava v'yam. What about if a person is in grief for other things? His house collapsed, his ship sank, and then he scratches and scrapes himself out of tzar for that. You would think that he would be chayev. No, tamad loyma, therefore the pasuk says lo nefesh, the pasuk says a seret for soul. Eni chayev elal mes bilvan. So he's chayev only when he does it for a dead person. We learned in Sanhedrin, actually, we had where after Rabbi Eliezer passed away and Rabbi Akiva found out about it, then he was tearing at his skin and then gashing himself and crying. And the question is, how does that fit over here? Were you not allowed to do it for a mess? So one point is that he was doing it, one point is he wasn't doing it for the fact that Rabbi Eliezer, the person, had passed away, but for all the Torah that Rabbi Eliezer could have taught that was lost, whereas the Gemara says over there, Rabbi Eliezer was saying there's so much Torah that I know and nobody ever asked me, and now it's too late to be able to give it all over. So Rabbi Akiva is crying because of loss and gashing himself because of the loss of that Torah, and that kind of thing would be allowed. The Braisa continues, and masaret chomesh sritis al mesach. And how do we know if a person makes five scrapes on his skin for one mes shu chayev al kolachas v'achas, that he's going to be chayev individually for each one? If that is, we're talking about that they gave him one hasra and then he does five of them. So it's similar to what we learned yesterday about kolcha, same idea where they give him hasra and then he does kolchas in five different places on his head. For example, we said he puts a hair removing cream on his fingers and puts them in five different places on his head. So he ends up with five different ones at the same time. Or we said it might also be bazaar hazeh. So he was the same thing. They gave him one hasra. And he did one after the other. How do we know he's chayiv individually for each one? Talmud Lomar v'seret, therefore the pasuk is v'seret, l'chayiv akol sritah sritah, so it comes to tell us that he's chayiv individually for each scrape, for each gash. How is that? The Rivon explains two possibilities. First of all, instead of saying v'seret lo nefesh, it could have said lo nefesh lo sisritu. So instead it says v'seret lo nefesh and a seret for the soul, therefore that teaches us that he's chayiv individually for each seret. Another possibility is because of the extra vav in the word v'seret. Okay. The Gemara continues, Rabbi Yossi Yomim Minayim L'Misaret Srita Achas Al Chamisha Mesim Shul Chayiv Al Kolachas V'Achas. And how do we know, says Rabbi Yossi, if it was only one gash, but it was in mourning for five different mesim, that he'd also be chayiv individual malchus for each one? Talmud Lomar L'Nefesh, therefore the pasuk says for a soul, L'Chayiv Al Kol Nefesh V'Nefesh, so teaches us that he's chayiv individually for each soul, for each person, because of whom he's making the gashes. So Gemara says, wait a minute, for ha-pikdei, lebeisei shenofel l'sfinosa shetovah b'yam. Didn't we just say that the word l'nefesh teaches us that he's not chayev if he does it out of grief for his house that collapsed or his ship that sank? How are you also using the word l'nefesh to teach us, so that for Rabbi Yossi, to teach us that he's chayev individually for each person that he makes a seret for? The answer is Kasafa Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi holds Gdid Srita Ugdida Achasi. When the Torah says in Parshas Kedoshim and in Emor, not make a Srita, and when it says in Parshas, when it says in Re'eh, Loisis Goydidu, it means the same thing. Either one could be by hand or with a Keli. So now, when it says by Gdida, it says Loisis Goydidu, and Veloisis Simokocha, Vein Enechem Lames, it says with a lames, so therefore he can say that now the word lanefesh is available by the seret lanefesh to say that he's chayiv individually for each individual person. And then from the pasuk in Re'eh lames, we would learn that it means that he's chayiv only when he does it because of a dead person, and not when he's doing it out of grief for his house or his ship. Okay. The Gemara continues. Omer Shmuel hamasaret v'kli chayiv. Now Shmuel says then that if a person were to do seret using a keli, then he would be chayev. Now, in other words, the Rivon explains, it's for sure, even Rabbi Yossi, who says that Gdida and Srita are the same thing, he agrees that primarily Gdida involves a keli, as the Gemara is going to bring a pasuk in a couple of lines, and Srita primarily means with the hand. So Rabbi Yossi is saying they're the same thing. The point is, in other words, though, that Shmuel wants us to know that Srita is relevant with a keli also. And therefore, if you were to use a keli, if you were to use a knife or something to scratch or to cut or to scrape himself because of a mess, then Shmuel is saying he would be chayev to lavim. He would be chayev for seret, and he'd be chayev for seret, and he'd be chayev for gidud. So that's what Shmuel wants us to know, is that there is that they are in fact considered two separate chiyuvim, and therefore that he'd actually be chayev for both of them. That's one explanation. That's how the Rivon explains it. The Rishonim, the Ri Al Madari, rather explains that it means that you should know whether they give him Hasra because of Misaret or because of Megadid. He's going to be Chayev, and the Oruch HaNer points out it has to be that way because according to the Rivon, why doesn't the Gemara say that he's Chayev to Malkus? There is in fact actually the Rambam, I think, explains that in fact he would be chayev only one, meaning in other words, yes. So the Rambam holds that he's chayev only once because the Lechem Mishnah explains that Rambam Bechlal holds, as we talked about a few days ago in connection with insects, that just because the Torah repeats an iser doesn't make extra malchus for it. So therefore, that would be the point. Is in other words, that Shmuel's chiddush point to that would be the fact that if he uses a keli, it's still called misaret, and again at that point that if they gave him asura, don't do seret. You're going to be chayiv malchus, and he did it with a keli. You should know that seret includes with a keli as well, even though on the face of it, it would mean only biyam. Okay. So the Gemara says Mesri. The Gemara says that I have a contradiction. A Braisa says Srita ugdida achasi. Srita and gdida are the same thing. Elisha Srita beyad ugdida bekli. The difference is that Srita means doing it by hand, and gdida means doing it with a keli. So in that case, then. So how can Shmuel be saying that if he does seret with a keli that he should be chayev? It comes out from this braisa that not so. And it comes out, by the way, also, it comes out that this Braisa is arguing with Rabbi Yossi on both points. It means, in other words, that the Tana of this Braisa is saying that also, not necessarily, what a person would be chayev, if he does it many times for one mess, he might be chayev only one malchus. So how is Shmuel saying differently? And the answer is fine. The answer is that Shmuel is saying like Rabbi Yossi, and he holds like Rabbi Yossi that Srita and Gdida are the same thing. Gemara continues, Tony Tana Kameh de Rabbi Yochanan, meaning a Tana taught a Braisa in front of Rabbi Yochanan on the subject, Al Mes, when a person does Srita Ugdida, for a dead person, Ben Biyad, Ben Bikli Chayev, whether he does it by hand or with a Keli, he'd be Chayev, because again, we would say that they're the same thing, and that Srita can be with a Keli and Gdida can be by hand, even though primarily it's the other way around. But the Braisa continues, Al Avodis Kechovim, but on the other hand, if he does Gdido Srita, if he does it for Avodah Zarah. Now, what do we mean for Avodah Zarah? The Rivon explains some Avodah Zarahs are worshipped in that way that they make wounds on their bodies in honor of Avodah Zarah. Biyad Chayev, so if he does it by hand, he would be Chayev, because that's the normal way of worshipping Avodah Zarah. In fact, the Rivon says that would apply even if this is an Avodah Zarah that is not normally worshipped that way, because it's a full-fledged Avodah. In other words, apparently the Rivon seems to be understanding that would be similar to one of the four types of Avodah that we learned in Sanhedrin, where a person is always Chayev, regardless of whether it's Derech Avodasa or not, so he'd be Chayev. So, actually, Tosfos teaches out that he means, in other words, if it was Kedauka, he'd be Chayav Misa, and if it's Shaloi Kedauka, if it's not the normal way of worshipping this particular Avodah Zarah, then it would be that he's Chayav Malkus for it. In any case, the point is, the Tana is saying that if he does it for Avodah Zarah by hand, he'd be Chayav, but with a Keli, he'd be Potter. So Rabbi Yochanan asks him, what do you mean? The Pasuk says the other way around. We find on Harak Carmel with the Nevi Hanbal, where when they're not getting their way and the fire is not coming down, the Pasuk says, they did Gedida according to their customs, Bacharovas of Ramachim, with swords and with spears. So we see that, on the contrary, we see that Gedida refers to using a Keli. So you're right, Ella Emo, you have to flip around the Braisa, Biyad Potter, if he does it by hand, he would be Potter, because that's not the normal way of doing it, the Kli Chayev, but if he does it with a Kli, then that would be the normal way of worshipping Avodah Zarah, and therefore he'd be Chayev. The Ritva actually gives another possibility. We could be talking about an Avodah Zarah that people are not familiar with, and therefore, so normally, if a person were to take a new unknown Avodah Zarah and do at first the Gemara had thought with a Yad, and now we're saying with Keli, then we would say it's Chayiv Misa, because that's probably the way in which it's normally served. But if he does it by hand, then we'd Potter, because that's probably not the way. And then the Rambam gives another point as well, that the purpose of the Gedida for Avodah Zarah may not be so much like you have with the Nevi Habal, not so much to worship it, but rather to beg it to do what the person wants. He's trying to get something out of the Avodah Zarah, it's not paying attention, and he's desperate, and therefore he's going to start cutting himself like the Nevi Habal did. So in that case, he'd be over on that. Okay. Next, the Mishnah had said v'chai, so that takes care of Gedida and Srita. So again, you have the different opinions whether Srita and Gedida are the same thing, and when it applies b'yad and when it applies b'kevi. The bottom line is, based on this last braisa, that if he does it for a mess, then he's chayev whether he does it b'yad or b'kli, because like Rav Yossi had said, Gedida and Srita are considered basically the same thing, and then one is usually done by hand, and the other one usually with a keli. On the other hand, for Avodah Zarah, since we only find the word vayis goydidu, so then you have that a person is chayev only when he does it with a keli. All right. The Mishnah had said v'chayev al arosh. The Mishnah had said that a person is chayev to malchus if he shaves his payas. And the Mishnah had gone on to say that. Achas mikan v'achas mikan, because there's one payah on each side of the head. So where are the payas exactly located? How far down does it go? Machvi Rav Sheshes pointed to on his own head. Ben Pirkei Resha, the point between the joints of the head, meaning in other words the point where the front and the back of the head join together. As we talked about yesterday, well, we all know what payas are. We all wear them. But in other words, that point where the front and the head and the back of the head join together, and then you have the hairline dipped down over there and forms the payas. You do have different opinions among the Rishonim how far down the payas have to be left alone, and how many hairs there have to be in them, etc. Okay. Next, the Mishnah had said, Valazok, and as far as the beard, a person is chayev for shaving it, shtayim mikan, va'achas milamata, two on one side, two on the other side, and one on the bottom, as we learned yesterday, the various opinions, the five or so opinions of the Rishonim, where exactly those five spots are located. So again, machvid of sheshes, or sheshes pointed to on his own face, and showed, ben pirke dikna, between the joints of the beard, so again, you know, the various places where we would define where the beard joins something else, where the jaw joins a different part of the face, or where the jaw joins the chin, or where the beard joins the rest of the cheek, etc., where it joins the payas, etc., the different opinions of the Rishonim as we learned yesterday. Okay. The Mishnah said Rabbi Eliezer says that if a person shaved both payas or all five payas of the beard at once, then so in the Mishnah we had said that he'd be so the Tanakama had said that that he'd be chayiv individually for each one. Rabbi Eliezer had said if he shaved them off all at once, then he's chayiv only one malchus. So the Gemara says kasava chad lav, who, because Rabbi Eliezer holds that it's all one lav and therefore he gets only one malchus, whereas the Chacham is saying sure it's only one lav, but the fact is it's different parts of the beard and therefore it would be similar to the seret and the gedida and everything that we talked about, and the korcha and everything that we talked about before, where he would be chayiv individually for each one. Okay. We said that in a chayiv ad sheitlanu batar, we said a person is chayiv as far as the beard only if he shaves it with a razor. So how do we know that? Tananabon, we learned in a b'risa. Again, this is one of those things where the Torah repeats the mitzvah by regular Jews and by Kohenim. By regular Jew, it says, don't destroy the corners of your beard. By Kohenim, it says, they should not shave the corners of their beard. So again, why do we need it repeated twice? So like this, when it says, when it says by the Kohenim, they should not shave the corners of their beard, you would think that means even if he shaved it off with scissors, he should be chayev, malchus. No, Talmud Lomar. Therefore, it says by regular Jews, voice sashchis, don't destroy the beard, and therefore so it has to be hashchosa, which is therefore dafka using a razor, because scissors are not mashchis. First of all, the fact that we're learning one from the other, by the way, that Yvonne points out from a different Gemara in Kedushin, is that because by both of them it says the word peya, pa'as sekonim, and pa'as sekonecha, and therefore we have a zeta shava that what applies to one applies to the other. So now, by Yisrael, it says voice sashchis, scissors is not mashchis, because it doesn't cut all the way down to the root like the way razors do, because you have two blades after all, and the one blade prevents it from getting too close to the skin. The Braitha continues, I loy sashchis, but if you only had the word loy sashchis, yochel imlikdib malkit or a hitni, yei chayev, then you would think also he would be chayev if he removed it with a malkit or a hitni, where we talked yesterday about the possibilities what malkit and rehitni are. Rashi elsewhere explains that there are two kinds of planes that are used to smooth out wood. A plane has a little blade that sticks out of it and cuts fairly close to the surface, so that's also mashchis. We talked about that a malkit or that one of them, either malkit or rehitni, maybe tweezers and the other one is something else. Whatever the point is, these are all things that cut the hair very close to the skin. You would think that he'd be chayav malkus. No, tamad lama lo yigalechu. Therefore, the pasuk says they should not shave. Using a malkit or rehitni is not shaving. Okay, so what does it mean? One pasuk is mentioning shaving and the other one is mentioning destroying. So, giluach, sheyesh v'yashchosa, in order to be, for a person to be chayiv, it has to be a shaving where there's also destroying. Heavy armor is a tar, so therefore the only thing that fits both of those criteria is an actual razor, a straight edge razor, and therefore he's chayiv malchus only for that. This is where you have the whole discussion nowadays as far as various kinds of shavers, as far as various kinds of shaving machines, which ones are technically allowed, al pi halacha, and which ones are not, because you have some of them that really do cut very closely to the skin, and some of them have a guard that prevents it from cutting too close. Some of them, on the other hand, even have where they pull the hair a little bit out and then cut it, and then when it lets go, then the hair retracts under the skin. So there's a lot of discussion among the poskim achronim what exactly is and isn't isn't allowed in that regard, aside from everything the Gemara is talking about over here, as far as Lois Tashma says, pass the Kanecha and all that. You have other considerations as well. You have to remove the beard is also a matter of Loyubash Gever Simlas Isha, and it's also a matter of Chukas HaGoyim, and famously, we know where the Moshe Winner wrote a sefer years back called Hadras Panim Zaken, and he keeps on updating it with more and more information. By now, I think the sefer is like over 1,000 pages, and he goes through all the different sources in Torah and many different letters from Rabbonim over the generations about not shaving or even trimming the beard. And aside from which we talked about yesterday, Api Kabbalah, a person is not supposed to trim or shave, etc. Okay, the Mishnah continued. The Chassam Sofer, by the way, points out you're not going to say the other way around that since it says lo yigalechu, that it means that you can't use even scissors because that would do giluach, or maybe you would say, in other words, that fakeut, you're learning the other way around. It means anything that's either giluach or hashchasa, and in that case it would include scissors and malkut and rehitni as well, because then the Torah didn't have to write the word sashchis at all. It could have just said like saucer, don't remove es pas the konecha. So therefore it means davka, like we're saying over here, giluach. All right. On the other hand, the Mishnah had said, "Rabbi Yezer, I'm after the lichter, but malka to rehitni yehechayev." Rabbi Yezer says that no, even if he shaved his beard with a malka to rehitni, he'd still be chayev. So the Gemara asks, "Why? Why is Rabbi Yezer saying that?" Manafshach, either way you look at it, e gomer gzeira shava, if he agrees and he learned from his rebbeim the gzeira shava of the word peah, pa'as, that it says in both places, then we say we learn one from the other, libori, then he should require, libori tar, then it should require a razor, like we said, because it needs to be giluach, as it says by the Kohenim, and ashchos, as it says by Yisraelim. The Eloi Gomer, Gzeira Shava, and if he never learned this Gzeira Shava, Misparayim Namilo, then why is he saying Davka, Malkut, and Rehitni, according to him, even scissors should be osir? Because the whole concept of lois sashchis is said only by Yisrael. So in other words, the question is particularly why would he say mela by Yisraelim? You could say then that he'd be that he'd be potter unless he does ashchasa. But why by the kohenim would he say? He's saying a blanket statement that even if malkut or hitni would be chayev, but scissors he'd be potter, implying even the Maharam explains the question is even by kohenim. Well, why if we would say he doesn't learn the gzeira shava? And the answer was Loilam Gomer, Gzeira Shava. Sure, he learns the Gzeira Shava. Because Saba, but he holds Hani Nami, Giluach Avi. He says that, yeah, but on the other hand, the Malkut and Rehitni also accomplish Giluach. The Tanakhama had said that not, because they're not usually used for Giluach. But they're not usually used for shaving, so therefore it doesn't fit in the category of Loi Galechu. Rabbi Eliezer says that's considered things that accomplish Giluach, because maybe they're not normally used for Giluach, but nevertheless. So in other words, the Maharam teaches out, he's saying, fine, I agree that other Kalim, even when they do Ashchosa, they're not considered Giluach. He would say, in other words, that it's normal enough to use a Malkut or a Hitni for shaving, and therefore that those would be included. Now, Loch is like the Chachamim, so not a Malkut or a Hitni, only strictly a razor. Okay. Continuing on topics of dinim, of things that a person does with his body, where he'd be chayav malchus. So here's another one. The pasuk also says, "Uchsoves kaka leisikim achem." Don't make tattoos on yourself. So let's talk about that din. The Mishnah says, "Hakos of ksoves kaka." If a person made a tattoo on his body, so the Rivan describes, he first writes something with some kind of ink on his body. Then he uses a needle or a knife or something like that to cut open the skin, and therefore then the ink goes below the surface and it remains there forever. We showed him talk about also what about the other way around? What if he the Rambam actually brings that it would actually have to be it could be the other way around as well, that he would first make the cuts and then they put in the ink. I think nowadays usually when tattoo people I think usually do it that way, where first they do the cuts and then they fill it with the ink. But either way the point is that he'd be chayev. There is a further discussion of Rishonim. What about if he does only one and not the other? So the Mishnah is going to say that he's not Chayav Malkus unless he does both of them, but is it in fact Osir to do only one of them? So the Ivan says right over here, it is Osir to write on the skin in any way like that. So this person is not allowed to write anything of that sort on his skin. Later on, the Rivan says that would mean that he'd be chayev even for that Well, so the Gemara is going to say, or Reb Shimon is going to say, that he's only chayev for certain kinds of tattoos, but nevertheless he'd still be chayev. Okay, you know what? Let's talk about that further on after we go through the discussion in the Gemara. In any case, so that's Psoivus Kaka. So the Mishnah continues, Kosav Lekika, if he wrote on his skin, but he didn't scratch into his skin, so the ink doesn't go below the surface, Kiyaka Velekosav, or if he scraped letters or designs or whatever into his skin, but he didn't write anything, Enechayev, then he wouldn't be Chayev, actually Yichter Vikakea, unless he writes and engraves, and then the ink goes below the skin. Now there are Rishonim who learn that there were Rishonim say it would be also either way. The Mishnah doesn't mean Davka that doesn't have to be that he does it in that order, writes that he writes and then scrapes. It could be the other way around as well. And that applies the yodoy, whether he does it by hand or really on the side. It says it's supposed to be b'dyoy, whether he uses ink or v'choil, or he uses eyeshadow or v'choldov v'shul roshim, or anything that makes up any kind of thing that makes a permanent mark below the skin. Reb Shimon ben Yehuda, Mishum Reb Shimon Omer, on the other hand, continues the Mishnah. Reb Shimon ben Yehuda says, in the name of Reb Shimon, Ein Chayev Ad Sheyichtev Shomas Hashem. He's Chayev only if he, Ein Chayev Ad Sheyichtev Shomas Hashem, he's Chayev only if he writes a name over there. What name do we mean? We'll see in the Gemara. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Chosevus Kakal, Sitna Mechem, Ani Hashem, as the Pasuk says, don't write a tattoo on yourselves. I am Hashem. So he learns from that he's Chayev only when there's a name involved, whether we mean a name of Avodah Zarah, or whether we mean a name of Hashem. We're going to talk about that in the Gemara. So the Rivan points out that even according to Reb Shimon, he would still be chayev. He'd still be chayev no matter what he writes. All we're saying is according to Reb Shimon, he's chayev malchus only if he writes a name, as we're going to discuss. And then there's discussion. What about if he scrapes on the skin without putting ink over there? Is that alone enough to make it an iser or not? The relevant Gemara that the Rishonim bring in this connection is in Gittin, it talks about a case where a person writes a get on the hand of his servant. And then involving service kaka, involving tattooing, and therefore so is such a thing allowed? Is it maybe also dirabanan? And what about if a person writes without perforating the skin at all? Then maybe it would even be allowed. So there's a lot of discussion about that. The Minchas Chinuch ends up saying that no, because you have Rishonim who say not to write even when you're not perforating the skin, then at least you have, there might be an Isser Dirabanan, but he says that would only be if it's permanent and can't be removed, and then really you don't have that. Let's say, for example, you have sometimes these temporary tattoos that they give out to kids. Sometimes those, even according to him, might not be a problem because those wear away fairly quickly because of your body heat. One thing is, you do have, for example, sometimes they have what they call nowadays permanent makeup, where it's basically tattooed into the skin. That would be a problem up yalacha, even though there's no writing. If nothing else, it would be also dirabanan. Okay. So let's talk about Reb Shimon's opinion. When Reb Shimon is saying in the Mishnah, until he writes a shame, Ad Yichtev Ani Hashem Mamash, does that mean that he's chayev only if he writes the words Ani Hashem on his skin, like it says in the Torah? In other words, that maybe the Pasuk is saying, don't write the tattoo of the words Ani Hashem on your skin. No, that's not what Reb Shimon means. Kidetoni Bakapara, rather, it's like the way Bakapara teaches in the Braisa, Ein Chayev Ad Sheyichtev Sheva Amudos Kechavim. According to Reb Shimon, the person would be Chayev Malchus only if he wrote a name of Avodah Zarah. And the idea behind it, by the way, is that Rambam explains the idea behind the issue of tattoos is Goyim would do that in those days. Goyim do it even nowadays, but whatever. The point is, in those times, the common thing was a person would write a name of Avodah Zarah and etch it into his skin as a tattoo to show like he belongs to the Avodah Zarah, like the way a slave belongs to his master. So therefore, so the idea would be, logically, if the Ves Hashem in the Mishnah means that only if he writes an actual name of Avodah Zarah, which is the way that they would do it in those days. The Ritva explains, the Tanakhama would say, fine, I agree, that is what the Pasuk means, but the Pasuk is then going beyond that and saying any kind of tattoo is also as well. So in fact, Shanema, as the Pasuk says, kaka, ni Hashem, the Pasuk is saying, don't tattoo on yourselves, I am Hashem. That doesn't mean that he writes the words ani Hashem, rather it means ani Hashem v'layacher, I am Hashem and no other, so don't write something on your skin that contradicts the ani Hashem, don't write a name of Avodah Zarah. So that's where Reb Shimon is getting that he'd be chayiv only if he writes the name of Avodah Zarah. Again, as the Rivan stresses, that doesn't mean that he'd be, that according to Reb Shimon, it would be mutter to do any other kind of tattoo. He agrees that it's also, he would just say he's not chayiv malchus. There are, by the way, the Rif actually seems to pass him like Reb Shimon. He brings Reb Shimon's opinion, and generally he brings only the opinions that are actually, that he holds are la halacha. So it comes out, according to the Rif, that the halacha would actually be according to Reb Shimon, and a reason for that would be because the Gemara discusses the details of his opinion. However, most poskim say not like that. Most poskim hold like the Tanakhama that he's chayiv for any kind of tattooing, not just the name of Avodah Zarah. An interesting point is also that the Chronim discuss sometimes you have a person who has a tattoo and then he, for example, he became a ger or a bal tshuva or something, and now he wants to get rid of it and he wants to cover it over. Would that be allowed now to do another tattoo on top of it in order to cover it over? So it's not so simple. The Sefer Betzela Chochma discusses that point and says it's really not so clear, would that be considered writing or not. We find by Shabbos, for example, Ksiva al Gabi Ksiva is not fully considered writing, so maybe over here it would be allowed. Nowadays, actually, they have laser removal, so a person maybe can do it that way. So the Gemara continues in this regard. Omer of Malkia, Omer of Adabahava, also loyla odem shiitin efer mikla agave makosai. A person is not allowed to put ashes on his wound because it appears like a tattoo. Eventually, some of the ashes get under the skin, and when the wound heals, then you have something over there that appears like a tattoo. He didn't mean to do it, so it wouldn't be also deraisa, but it would still be also derabanan. So now, here we have Reb Malkiya saying this. You have a number of dinim throughout Shas where Reb Malkiya says, and then you have a very similarly named Amoda named Reb Malkiya. So the Amoda brings here, and in various other places, a simon to remember which one said which one. Amr of Nachman Breder of Ikka. Here you have six dinim, some of which were said by Reb Malkiya and some of Reb Malkiya. Here's how you remember them. The first one, shvud, a din involving a spit that was used for roasting. This is a din in Masechta Beitza, that a spit that was used for roasting meat. You're allowed to roast meat on Yom Tov, on a spit. But afterwards, it's dirty and disgusting, and you don't have any further use for it on Yom Tov. So therefore, so it's mukta, but on the other hand, what you do is shtoynter manicha b'kerenz ovis. You pull it out of the meat, and you move it minatzad. You move it indirectly and stick it in a corner, and after Yom Tov, you wash it off. So that's the first of these six dinim. The second one, shfachis. The second one is a din in Masechta Ksubos involving a woman who has several maidservants, where Mishnah says over there that once she has four maidservants, then she's potter from doing any housework. But Rabbi Eliezer says in the Mishnah that always she has to at least spin wool, and Rabbi Malkiyo is saying the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer. So that's the second thing. And the third thing, the third thing is something involving hair follicles. We know that it takes shtei sairus for a boy or a girl to be considered a gadol or a gdola. So Mishnah and Nida says that shtei sairus, and then the Gemara brings that not only if there's actual hairs there, but even if there's follicles, because in guma b'loy seir, there wouldn't be a follicle there unless there was a hair there and then it fell out. So that din, all of those, says Rav Nachman Ben Rav Malki Yoy, all those three dinim were said by Rav Malki Yoy with a vol. On the other hand, then you have three other dinim, Bluris, You have a din involving a blurus, a shock, a lock of hair that when a goyim in those times would wear their hair in a certain style where they would leave a lock of it growing long in honor of their avodah zarah. So now if a Jewish barber is giving a goy a haircut, so he's not allowed to cut the rest of the hair and leave the blurus because that's helping the goy honor his avodah zarah. So he has to stop. The Gemara says over there he has to stop three etzbos away from the blurus on each side. So that din, Eifer Mikla is our din over here of putting ashes on a wound, and Gvina, and a din involving cheese, also in Masechet Avodah Zarah, where it says over there, the Gemara discusses a few different reasons why cheese made by Goyim is Osir. So there was a reason given over there because they used pig fat to smooth it out. So all of those are Malkiyah. So Rav Nachman says all those three dinim were said by the Malkiyah. So you have to say this way, you'll keep track of which one is which. That's Rav Nachman Vered of Ikka's version. On the other hand, Rav Papa has a different view of it. The way to realize which is which, Masnissin or Masnissa Rav Malkiya. Anything having to do directly with a Mishnah or a Braita comes from a Malkiya. Namely, in other words, of the six things we mentioned, the din of the shvud is not directly related to a mishnah or a braisa. It's just a statement of Amidoyim. The shvachas, on the other hand, is based on a mishnah. Because say the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer in the mishnah. The gumos is also based on a mishnah. About Shlei Cyrus. The bluris is not based on a mishnah. Actually, it is. It's based on a braisa over there. Eifer Mikla is not directly based on a braisa. It's just saying it's just a statement of Amiroyim over here. And Gvina is based on a Mishnah because the Mishnah says over there that cheese made by Goyim is also. So the Papa is saying anything having to do with a Mishnah or a braisa, the Malkiyah, Shmaitza, anything having to do with a statement of Amiroyim, not directly in reference to a Mishnah or a braisa, is a Malkiyah. The Simonach, the way to remember that, says her papa, Masnissa Malkasa. The Mishnah, meaning and the Braisa, are like a queen relative to the words of Amiroyim. So therefore, it's a Malkiyah, which ends with an Aleph and is similar to a Lashon Nekeva, is therefore related to Malkasa, the queen, and whereas a Malkiyah, that ends with a Vav, is more Lashon Zohar. So the Gemara says, "My Benayu." Well, then, what's the actual difference between Rav Nachman's and Rav Papa's versions of who said what? And the answer is, "Ikka Benayu Shvachos." The argument between them would be as far as the din of the Shvachos. According to Rav Nachman, that's from a Malkiyoy. According to Rav Papa, it's in reference to a Mishnah, so it would have to be from a Malkiyoy. Now the Rivan discusses over here, and Tosfos discusses in a couple of places in Shas where it brings the simon is that not necessarily is Rav Papa saying that it's still three and three. He would say everything that has to do with a Mishnah and a Braisa is from a Malkiyah. As far as, on the other hand, it doesn't mean that Ramalkia only said the ones that have to do with Mishnayis and Braisis. There may well be more. There might well be four from Ramalkia and only two from Ramalkiyoy. So in other words, he takes out Shvachas and he would say that Ramalkiyoy said only the one about the roasting spit and about the hair follicles. On the other hand, the Rivan brings another possibility, and Tosfos also discusses elsewhere that when he says Shvachas, he means and Shvachas is opposite number from the second group, namely Eifer Mikla. Namely, according to him, we would flip around those two and say that Shvachas, being how that has to do with the Mishnah or Braisa, comes from Ramalkiyoy, whereas the one about Eifer Mikla from our Sugya over here would come from Malkiyoy. So two different understandings of what Rav Papa means versus Rav Nachman. Does he mean that it is still three and three and he just switches around the middle two of each group? Or does he mean that it would be four and two, all the ones with Mishnayis and Braisis, and possibly some, such as Eifer Mikla, that are not, all come from a Malkiyah, and then there would be only two from a Malkiyah? Okay. Now, we said that you're not supposed to put ashes on a wound, so the Gemara points out. Now, by the way, the Rivan points out, even Rav Malkiyah, who had said this din about the ashes, would agree it's a problem only with ashes. He would say it's not a problem, for example, putting dirt on it, because that doesn't create anything that looks like service kaka. And I don't know that it's such a great idea to put dirt on a wound anyway. It may get infected, but let's say in those times a person might have done that. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Bar Abaye kofid afilo arivya de kusilta. Rabbi Bar Abaye was careful in this regard. He wouldn't even put ashes on a small wound, on a small puncture that was made by a bloodletter. In other words, without Rabbi Bar Abaye, you would say that this applies more to a larger wound, where then if the ashes get into it, then you have something that really appears significantly like a tattoo, where it's not a tiny little thing like that. Where it's only one little puncture in the skin, but nevertheless, he was careful about that as well. On the other hand, Rav Ashi says, you don't have to be worried about any of it. You don't have to be concerned about any of that. Kol makom sheyesh shem maka, any place where there's a wound, makosim, then the fact that he has a wound demonstrates that he wasn't doing tattooing over there. After all, even afterwards, you're going to have a scar over there, so it's clear, therefore, that he didn't do it over there as Tzoyvus Kaka, and Tosva says that's the halacha. Okay. Next, now that we've gone through a number of different, in the last few Mishnayos, since the beginning of the Perek, we've gone through several dozen things that a person might do that's Chayav Malkus, and of course, as we talked about at the beginning of the Perek, there are a lot more. Primarily, we were focusing on the ones where there's a Chiddush. So now the Mishnah is going to talk about other ones where there's a chiddush in terms of the number of times that he does it, how many times he's chayav malchus. So the Mishnah says, Nozer shoyi shoyi yayin kol hayom, a nozer was drinking wine all day, ein chayav ala achas, so he's chayav so far only one malchus for it. On the other hand, omru loy al tishta, but if they tell him again and again, don't drink, and he continues to drink, and he's going to be chayiv individually for each drink that he takes. The Ritva points out we don't mean necessarily just saying don't drink is not necessarily going to be enough. It means the Mishnah is just shortening it, but it means each time they tell him don't drink, if you drink, you're going to be chayiv malchus. Then the Ritva says another possibility, maybe in fact only the first one do they have to actually tell him you're going to be chayiv malchus, and then if he continues doing them after that, maybe in fact it's enough to tell him each time don't drink, and it includes the fact that he's already chayiv malchus, which they already told him the first time. In fact, the Rishonim bring from a Yerushalmi that says even more than that. Let's say he's drinking one whole bottle of wine and it has 10 kazesim in it, and if they warn him to begin with, the whole thing has 10 kazesim, you drink it, you're going to be chayav 10 malchus. So now if he drinks the whole thing, he is in fact going to be chayav 10 times malchus. Similarly, if a nazir is a if a nazir is becoming tomei again and again throughout the day, and that ain't chayiv al achas, and he's chayiv only one time, but omer lo al tatame, if they tell him don't become tomei, for whom mitame, and he keeps on becoming tomei, namely, we have to, now, unlike with the wine, where he can be drinking it continuously and be chayiv, with the tumah, it would have to be, with the tumah that Ramban points out, it would actually have to be that he stopped touching the tumah and then went back and touched it again. Otherwise, he's only going to be chayiv only one time malchus. Now we're going to learn on Amud Beis. We're going to talk about, for example, a person who wears we're going to talk about the end, continuing in our Mishnah. We're going to talk about, and we're going to discuss it further in the Gemara, about a person who's wearing clothing of kilayim, of shatnez, and they warn him, take it off, and he's chayiv just for continuing to wear it, even without taking it off. Here, on the other hand, the difference is that that Ramban explains, there the expression is lo silbash shatnez, so as long as he's wearing it, he's still being over on lo silbash. But on the other hand, with tumas nes, as long as he's touching the mess, then he still have, the pasuk says, v'loisachavalu, don't desecrate yourself, as long as he's touching still the mess, then he's still mecholol, so therefore he's only going to be chayiv one. But once he stops touching it, and then he goes back and touches it again, then he can be chayav malchus again and again when they warn him al tatame, and every time he goes back and touches the mess, chayav akolachas vachas, and he's going to be chayav for every individual one. An interesting point in that regard, you have to ask, I mean, so what if he touched it again and again? Once he touched it the first time, he's tomei, he can't become more tomei, so the Ramban adds that you see from that in fact, he would be chayav malchus even in that case, even though he is already tomei, for the fact that he's touching it again, because there is, that would be the opinion of Reb Taufen in a Braisa and Masechta Smachos that holds that he'd be chayav. Okay. The Mishnah continues, similarly, if he's shaving and taking the whole day over it, and they warn him, don't shave his beard, and again, he's chayv only one malchus, but if they warn him, don't shave, and he shaves, here actually we're talking about, we could be talking about his beard, but also we could be talking about a nozir with his hair. So, because the nozir is not allowed to shave his hair, after all. Omri lai al-tagaleach, they warn him, don't shave, v'hum galeach, and he's shaving chayv al-kalachas v'achas, then he's going to be chayv individually for each act of shaving that he does. Now, what about, forget about a nozir, now let's talk about a regular person, hoya lovush v'kalayim kalayim, a person is wearing shatnez all day long, ain't a chayv al-achas, he's chayv only one malchus. Omrele al tulbash, but if they tell him don't wear it, and again as the Ritzvah says, does it mean each time they're warning him don't wear it you're going to be chayv malchus, or does it mean just the first time they said don't wear it you're going to be chayv malchus, and then they keep on telling him don't wear it, we'll push it v'loivish, and he's taking it off and putting it back on, chayv akolachas v'achas, and he's chayv individually for each one, as we'll see in the Gemara, it doesn't even necessarily mean that he needs to be taking it off and putting it back on, he can be chayv even if he didn't do that, as we'll see in the Gemara. The Mishnah continues, yesh chodesh telem echad, you can have an example of somebody who plows one furrow in a field, b'chayv olam, mishum shmoina lavim, and he's over for eight different lavim that he does at the same time. Now, the Rivan says, obviously, you could have a case. He uses, let's say, for example, we know the Torah says, v'sachrish b'shorah v'chamer yachtav, so let's say he uses eight oxen and eight donkeys. Fine, we're not talking about that. We want to find examples where he's over on many different lavim. So in other words, and the Rivan says, this is a continuation. We just said where a person is wearing shatnez, so now the Mishnah is going to mention, where you can have, along with the wearing shatnez, he's doing other averus, and it's chayav multiple malchus. So namely as follows. Hachodesh b'shor v'chamer, he plows together using an ox or a donkey, so he's over on that Easter. V'hin mukdoshin, and the shor and the chamer are both kodshim. Now, what do we mean by that? The Rivan explains that as far as the shur, we're talking about specifically it's a bechor. We can't be talking about other kodshim for reasons that we're going to learn in the Gemara. For reasons that we're going to learn in the Gemara tomorrow, best Hashem. So the shur is that the chamur obviously can't be kodshim in a regular way. It also means that the chamur is a petah chamur. So the Rivan points out, our Mishnah would have to be following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that says that a petah chamor is also bahana until you redeem it, until you give the sheep to the Kohen. And he goes on to explain why Rabbi Yehuda would hold that way. But then he goes on to say another possibility is if we say not like Rabbi Yehuda, and we say that a person is not chayev for using a petah chamor before it's redeemed, according to that opinion, we'd say it is also to use it. But nevertheless, he's not chayev malchus for you, according to that opinion, for using the petah chamor before redeeming it. So according to that way of looking at it, that Ivan says, according to that, we would have to say that it means that he's using, let's say, an ox and a sheep together. He's also chayev, that's also over on the issue of the Torah, not to plow with two animals together. And just mean the Mishnah is using the word shor v'chamer because that's the Lashon HaPasuk. Elsewhere, Rashi brings actually that there could be a different way of looking at it. The ox doesn't necessarily have to be a bechor; it could be any kind of kodshim, and he's over on that. And as far as the chamur, would be it could be kodshim bedek abayis, and he's being over on me'ilah. So that's all according. That's all according to the Rivan and according to Rashi. The Tosfos has a difficulty with that, has a couple of difficulties. First of all, there's even according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're not allowed to use the petah chamur. Nobody holds that you get malchus for it. And second of all, and taka, why? By the sure, do we have to say that it's a bechor? Why can't we say that it's kodesh bedek abayis, like Rashi explains elsewhere? So rather Tosfos says that no, the reason,
The point would be that we're not talking about specifically an ox and a donkey, that the donkey might well be chulin. When we say the hein mukdashin, means that only the ox is kodshin. So you have the lav of shur v'chamor together, and you have the lav of using a shur that's from kodshin. So anyway, so you have those so far. The kilayim bekerem. Now, let's say, for example, you have kilayim planted in a vineyard, and as he's going along plowing, he's covering those seeds with the dirt from the plow. So therefore he's keeping and maintaining kilayim bekerem. And as the Gemara is going to say, that makes him chayev malchus. Tosfos explains that actually what you might have is he might be chayev. You could say that he's chayev then for the fact that there were kilayim of seeds together as well as kilayim kerem. Because as the Gemara explains elsewhere that kilayim kerem, to actually be chayev malchus for it, it would have to be that, for example, he plants a wheat grain and a barley grain and a grape seed all together. So therefore, you have kilayim between the two seeds, and you have kilayim between the seeds and the grapevine. So that would make two malchus. Next, so the shvius, we're talking about doing shmita, so you're not allowed to work the land. The yomtiv, this takes place on yomtiv, so therefore so he's plowing on yomtiv. The koyin, and he's the koyin v'nozer, and he's a koyin and he's a nozer, the beis ha-tumah, and all of this is in a beis ha-kvaris, so therefore so you have those, a nozer and a koyin, who are becoming tummy mess. So therefore, so you end up with eight lavin. Chaninim ben Chachinai says another. You could have a ninth lav as well. You could have that while he's doing all of this, he could be wearing kilayim. But that has nothing to do. We're trying to focus on things that have to do specifically because of the plowing. The fact that he's wearing kilayim is a side thing. So he says, fine, if a nozer lo yorashem, new and the nozer, as well as the koyin, then also it's not part of the same thing. After all, the fact that he's going into a beis hakavodes does not necessarily have to do with the plowing per se. It so happens that the plowing is in a beis hakavodes, but it doesn't necessarily have to be, the same way as he doesn't necessarily have to be wearing kilayim. So the Rishonim talk about then in that case of what would the Chachamim answer to that. One point is that when you're plowing, Tosfos here in a Peretz brings that, listen, when you're plowing, you have to necessarily be going together with the oxen, so therefore he obviously has to go into the Beis HaKvaris. And then they also bring, there can be the consideration that when you're plowing in a field, you might have, in a Beis HaKvaris, there might be that the plow dislodges a piece of bone, at least the size of a grain of barley, and then it becomes tameh, so we're talking about the plow actually causes him to become tummy, not so much for stepping over the graves, but for the fact that he ends up touching a bone the size of a grain of barley and becomes tummy. As opposed to, in other words, the Chama saying to Rav Chanina ben Chachinai, wearing kilayim has nothing to do with all of this. Okay. So the Gemara says, Amar Bibi Amar Rav Yosi, Poshit v'loivash loivash mamish. When we said in the Mishnah that he's taking off the kilayim and putting it back on, does it mean that he actually is taking it off completely and then putting it back on? This is all in parenthesis, because in fact, actually, there's the on the sign, it says the correct girsa is that Abibi is saying, not as a question, but rather as a statement. Hagos Habach also changes it. Loi poshit v'loi v'shmamish. It doesn't mean literally they have to take off the clothing completely and put it back on in order to be chayim malchus. Ella, but rather, afilu machnes u'moitzi beis yad unkali shaloi, even if he takes his arm in and out of the sleeve, and then that's already considered putting it on again, and then he'd be chayv malchus again if they gave masra. Rav Ashi, Machvi, Rav Acha, Breder Ravika, Yuli Rapuki. So Rav Acha, Breder Ravika demonstrated with his own clothing by taking in and out his sleeve or his head or whatever from the clothing. So in other words, Rashi, the Rivon says mamash means, in other words, not just partially taking it off, but completely taking his hand out of the sleeve or his head out of the neck hole or whatever, and then putting it back in. On the other hand, Rav Ashi says, no, you don't even need that. Even if he only kept the clothing on him long enough to put it back, to take it off and put it back on, chayev, then he would still be chayev malchus for that reason alone, just for keeping it on him, because like we said before, the Ramban The Ramban points out, since the pasuk says lois silvash shtatnez, so therefore, as long as he's wearing it, then he's over on that. Then he's over on that iser again and again, and therefore he's chayev malchus, and therefore he's chayev malchus again and again. The Rambam actually brings both points. The halacha, if he takes his head in and out of it, then he's chayev, and also if he keeps it on him, the amount of time that he could have taken it off and then puts it back on, then also he's chayev malchus. When we say based on kli shalom, we mention the sleeve over here. That I'm actually phrases it in terms of taking his head in and putting it out. So either way, a person could be chayev malchus if he keeps it on long enough to take it off and put it back, and they gave him asra each time. Or if he takes his head in and puts it back out, then he's chayev individually for each one. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, yesh chodesh telemach on the chulah. You can have a case of a person who plows one furrow and is chayev eight malchus for it, and we went through the various isurim. So the Gemara mentions in this connection, Omer Rabbi Yanai. So Rabbi Yanai says, "Bachavura nimnu v'gamru." In the gathering of the Chachamim gathered together. The Rivan explains they had certain days when they would gather together, and they called themselves Chavura, the group. So when they were together, the Chachamim and the group, nimnu v'gamru, they voted on and they decided the following din. Choifa the kilayim loika, if a person has those kilayim already planted, those seeds planted already together, and then he covers them with dirt, then he's also getting malchus even though he's not the one who planted it. Omalahan Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan says to them, or Lei, he says individually to Rabbi Yanai, who was his Rebbe, Lav Mishnah Seinu Hizu, why do we need the Chavura to vote on that? Doesn't it say that clearly in the Mishnah? Yesh Chodesh Telemechad, there can be a person who plows one furrow, V'chayev Olam Hashem Shmoyna Lavim, and he's chayev on the grounds of eight Lavim, and the first two were, and then we said, Achodesh B'Sher V'Chamor V'Hein Mukdashin, he's plowing with an ox and a donkey, which are Mukdashin, V'Kilayim B'Kerem, and we're saying that he's plowing Kilayim in the vineyard. Now, Hay Chodesh to Machayev Now, says Rabbi Yochanan, how could plowing possibly be chayev for kilayim b'kerem? Must be lav de machasi ba'dei de'ozel. It must be that as he's going along and plowing, he's also covering with dirt. He's pulling up dirt with the plow and covering seeds of kilayim that were there already. So you see that from the Mishnah. That's what is the Chavura telling us. Omalei, Rabbi Yana answers him, you're right, but actually you wouldn't have realized that if I hadn't told you. If I had not picked up for you the shard of earthenware, would you have found the pearl underneath it? Meaning, if I hadn't told you about the Mishnah, then you would say that maybe he's not chayev because of choifer b'kalayim, but rather mekayim kalayim, meaning that he's leaving kalayim to grow over there rather than taking him out. Maybe that would be reason enough to be chayev, to be mechayev and malchus. Once I pointed out to you what the Chavura says, means that yes, that is the correct understanding of the Mishnah, but you wouldn't have realized it otherwise. That expression, ilav de deloy loch magunisa, is found in several places in Shas, in at least one of them in Bav Metzia. Tosfos points out, where do you ever find, what kind of a figure of speech is that? You don't find pearls under shards of earthenware. So he says, because at the bottom of the sea, you have large flat rocks, or Tosfos may mean oyster shells, but yes, you find pearls underneath them, so that became a figure of speech. Like, imagine you have a diver who's looking around over there for pearls, he's not going to find them unless he turns over the rocks or turns over the oyster shells, so Rabbi Yana is using the same metaphor when he's talking to Rabbi Yechanan. On the other hand, Omalei Rish Lakish L'Rabbi Yochanan, but Rish Lakish said to Rabbi Yochanan, you should know that's really not necessarily the meaning of the Mishnah. Ilav de Kilsach Gavri Rabba, if it weren't for the fact that Rabbi Yanai, who was a great Talmud Chacham, praised you and said that yes, that is the meaning of the Mishnah, if it weren't for that, really, we would have a different way of explaining the Mishnah. Hava Amina, Masnissin Mani, Rabbi Akiva Hi, then I would have said rather that the Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Akiva, Dama Amakayim Kilayim Loika. Where Rabbi Akiva says that if a person leaves Kilayim growing, even though he didn't plant them himself, but he leaves them growing, then nevertheless, Rabbi Akiva would hold that he's Chayev. And therefore, that our Mishnah would be specifically according to Rabbi Akiva. Now, the Rivon goes on to point out, if you say, on the other hand, if you say, like the Chachamim, that the person who leaves Kelayim growing would be Potter, then he would also say that covering them with dirt would also be considered, would also be Potter from Malchus. Now that Rabbi Yana is telling you that when he covers them with dirt, then he's Chayav of the Kulei Alma, because we know that, because he said mechape rather than mekayim, then it means, in other words, that Rabbi Yana is telling you that mechape, covering them with dirt and therefore promoting their growth, that would be considered planting them b'chol alma. But when we say mekayim kelayim, would be something different, and that would be only according to Rabbi Akiva. So I would have thought to say that they're the same thing, mekayim and mechape. But Rabbi Yana is clarifying for you and saying that they actually have two different dinim. And as far as mechape, everybody agrees that he's chayiv malchus. Okay, my Rabbi Akiva. Where do we see that Rabbi Akiva addresses this point? D'tanya, we learn in a b'risa, hamenakish. If a person weeds, so he pulls out the weeds that are growing near the kelayim in order to make them grow better, v'amachapa, he covers them with dirt, b'kelayim, and this is involving kelay zroim or kelay kerem, loike, then he gets malchus. Rabbi Akiva Omer, achamakayim, and Rabbi Akiva says, even if he doesn't do either of those things, just the fact that he leaves it. And the Rivon explains that actually a sugya in moed cotton explains that the whole braisa is according to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is saying, why is menakish and mechape chayev? Because mekayim. Meanwhile, the chachamim would hold that mechape is not getting malchus, because again, like we said, they're the same thing. But here Rabbi Yana says Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yana is saying that no, they are actually different, and even the Chachamim who patur him by Mekayim would hold that he's Chayev from Mechape. Okay, my time is Rabbi Akiva. Why does Rabbi Akiva hold that it doesn't even have to be that he planted the Kelayim to be Chayev, just the fact that he's doing something to promote their growth, or even just leaving them growing? So the Tanya, we learn another braisa. When the pasuk says sodcha leisizra kelayim, don't plant your field kelayim. Ainli elazeveya. Now from that you would only know if he actually plants the kelayim. Mekayim minayin. How do we know the same din would apply even if he just leaves them growing? Tamad loyma. Therefore the pasuk says behem tocholei sabir kelayim sodcha leisizra kelayim. Your animals you should not crossbreed as kelayim. Your field you should not plant kelayim. The fact that it says kelayim sodcha. So the words behem tochol esabia and tizra kelayim are in parenthesis because Marsha takes them out because there's no need for them for the drosha that we're saying over here. The Rivon has them in. On the other hand, the point is, in other words, we're taking the word kelayim from in connection with the word kelayim in connection with animals, and we're saying it goes together with the word sod chaloi. We're punctuating the pasuk to say kelayim sod chaloi. It means kelayim in your field should not be. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva is darshing the pasuk that way, and from that he gets that just the fact that there were kelayim in a person's field and he doesn't take it out is reason enough to make him chayiv malchus. In other words, the Rivon explains, because otherwise, if it weren't for the drasha, then it would have said behem tochah kelayim lo sabia sadcha lo sizra kelayim. The fact that it puts the word kelayim next to sadcha allows us to darshing that it means just having kelayim in his field, just mekayim, is enough to be mekayim him. So we have two different ways of learning our Mishnah. We can say that our Mishnah is saying that just the fact that he covered them with dirt makes him chayiv malchus, according to everybody. Or we could say that specifically that's according to Rabbi Akiva, who holds that mechape and mekayim would be the same thing. Okay. Now, in the Mishnah, we had a list of eight things that he's chayiv for. And one of the things we had was for the fact that he's planting on Yom, that is for the fact that he's plowing on Yom Tov. But if we're now saying that there's Kelaya Kerem involved over here, meaning that him putting dirt on them makes him Chayiv Malchus for that, because he's promoting their growth, well then in that case, then it would be a Toldah of Zereya, and he should be Chayiv on Yom Tov as well. So, Omalei Ullah Rav Nachman. So, Ullah asks Rav Nachman exactly that point. V'loki nami mishum Zereya b'Yom Tov. Why shouldn't he also be Chayiv Malchus for the fact that he's planting on Yom Tov? In fact, the Ritva says why, when we say Shvius, again, we're saying he's over, that he's working the land on Shvius by plowing, but he's also being over of planting as well. So why aren't we listing that? The Tana does not have to list every single thing. He's leaving out some things. What do you mean? Amalei. So Ola says, what do you mean? Tana katani shmona v'atama tana v'shayer. The Tana is specifically saying that he's chayer for 8 malchus. And you're telling me Tana v'shayer? When a Tana gives it, Nela, when a Tana just gives a list of things, like we had in our Perek, the list of things for which a person is chayev malchus, fine, you could say that Tana v'shayer. The Tana is not listing every single thing. But here, when it says 8, then it means davka 8, no more. So how could you say Tana v'shayer? So the Gemara says, okay, fine. Omar Rava. So Rava says, or Agoris Abak changes it to Omalei Rava. Rava gives an answer. No. The difference is, yesh chiluk malachas b'shabas, vein chiluk malachas b'yamdin. The difference is, when it comes to Shabbos, if a person does many different malachas, then he's chayev different, then he's chayev achatas individually for each one. As if they were separate laban. They in chiluk malachas v'yamtiv, but there's no such distinction as far as yamtiv. A person were to do a bunch of malachas and yamtiv, behelam echad, he'd be chayev only one. He'd be chayev only one chatas. Actually, this is the Rivon says he's chayev chatas. The Oruch HaNer says, what are you talking about? There's no chatas for being over on yamtiv. Yamtiv is not chayev koris b'mezid, and therefore there's no chatas b'shergi. What we mean is rather we're talking about as far as malchus. So not the helam echad, but rather basrah. So he does with one hasra, then he only gets one. Then he only gets one malchus when it comes to yamtiv. Omalei. So Ula says, fine, adot tehei, let that be. In other words, that I agree with you. So fine, that explains why we're not being mechayivim for the two different malachas on yomtiv, because on yomtiv you can only be chayiv maximum one malchus, no matter how many malachas he did, even though there were separate asuras. However, esvei abaya, but abaya says, let it be that way. So fine, Omalei Abaya, Eisvei Abaya, but Abaya says I have a contradiction. The Ein Chiluk Malachas V'Yomtiv. So you're telling me on Yomtiv there's no Chiluk Malachas, and no matter how many Malachas a person does, he can be Chayiv only one. Only one Malchus. Vatnan, we learn in a Mishnah of Vatanya, we read it's a Braisa. Hamavashal Gid b'chol of the Yomtiv. If a person were to cook Gid Anosha, it's really supposed to be in milk on Yomtiv v'ochloy, and then he eats it chay loyka chomish, then he'd be getting 5 malchus. Loyka mishum oichol Gid. The first day is because he ate the Gid Anosha. Second of all, he cooked on yomtiv unnecessarily. You have a heter to cook on yomtiv, but only when you're doing it for malachas eichel nefesh, but not like this. The Rivan points out over here now, the reason why we would say, to go back a little bit, the reason why Rava would say, Taka, why should there be a difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov in that regard, is because like this. One, where do we see that there's Chiluk Malachas on Shabbos? One possibility is because it says, Loisivaru Eish, Vachomish Veseichem, and therefore, so it's Dobra, Yotzim and Aklal, Yotzim and Aklal Alamed, that it teaches us that just like that one singled out, so is every other Malacha. Well, then in that case, it's only on Shabbos, not Yom Tov. Then what about the opinion that says Havara la lav yotzos? There's a different reason why it singles out Havara, and he learns from Chiluk Malachas from a different pasuk. V'osa me'achas mehena. That would only be where there's a chatas. Yomtiv, there's no chatas. It's only malchus. So therefore, so Rava or Rabba is saying there's no Chiluk Malachas. But now Abaya says this Braisa is saying that if he cooks the gid anoshe in milk and eats it on yomtiv, so he's chayiv as follows: loyka mishum mevashel, loyka mishum oichol gid. He ate the gid anoshe. He's cooking on yomtiv unnecessarily. He's also getting malchus because he cooked the gid anosha in milk. Now that would be according to the opinion. The Rivan points out that would follow the opinion yesh begidim menosim tam, that the gidim, or such as the gid anosha, are considered to have a flavor and therefore they're considered meat. The halacha is actually that gid anosha and other gidim are not considered to have a flavor and therefore a person is not chayev for cooking them in milk. It's also still, but he's not chayev malchus for it because that would only apply to meat that has a flavor of meat. So the halacha is not like this braisa as far as that one, but nevertheless. Anyway, then the fact that he's eating basa mechalav, again, the halacha would not be like that, because ain't begidin menos in tam. The loika mishum havara. And the fifth one is he's getting malchus because he made a fire. Because he made a fire on Yom Tov, again, not for a purpose of cooking that was valid for Yom Tov. Now, and the Rivon points out, what we're saying is, if Reuven makes a fire and Shimon cooks, both of them would be chayev because they're both ovis malachas. We see it, but here we're saying that he himself made the fire and cooked, and we're saying getting separate malchus for each one of those. The Issa, if you're going to tell me that there's no chiluk malachas for Yavdev, mishamav oro lo mechayev, then he shouldn't be chayev or li chayev, then he shouldn't be chayev for the havara, don't he's chayev le mishum bishulei, because he would be chayev for cooking it. So you're right, the Gemara says fine. Apik havara, gida noshesh on the vela. Fine, take out that he made a fire and say instead the Braisa should list as the fifth thing that the gida nosha comes from an animal that was not properly shechted. So therefore, so he's also chayev for the fact that he's eating the vela. The Gemara says, what do you mean? V'hotoni Reb Chiya, loike shtayim alachilose v'sholosh al bishuloi. Reb Chiya summarizes this braisa that altogether he's getting two malchus for eating and three for the cooking. Namely, in other words, the eating is that he ate gida nosha with milk and that he ate the gida nosha in general. Those are two things for eating. And the three for the cooking would be cooking on yomtiv and cooking milk and meat and making a fire. V'im Issa, if you're going to tell me that the Gida Nosha is a Nevera, then it would be the other way around. Sholosh al-Chalosim u'chayev, then it means I have three malchus for the eating Gida Nosha, eating Gida Nosha of Nevera, and eating it with milk. So no, you can't correct it that way. Ela apetav orav ayo atzah asheira. Rather, you would say that the fifth thing is not that he made a fire on Yom Tov, because again, you would say that he's not chayv, a separate malchus for that, but rather you'd say that he used wood from an asherah to cook this concoction. And the warning not to use wood from an asherah for that, because the pasuk says, "V'lo yidrak b'yodcha v'goymer," nothing of the banned things should be kept in your hand. That pasuk is talking about that you're any dachas, but more generally it means that you're not allowed to have any hanah from anything of Avodah Zarah. So now the Ritva also says the Braisa is not coming to show us how many things it can be chayev. Otherwise, yes, it could have also included Gida Nosha Shom Nevela, and it could have included other ones as well. But the point is, within what he did so far, without bringing in extra things such as Nevela, you can say that he can be chayev five malchus. Still, if you're going to say that he used wood from an asherah, then in addition, he should also be chayev for the fact that he's using wood from an asherah alone is two lavim, one that he's using something of the banned substance, and also because the pasuk says, don't bring the disgusting thing into your house, and it means, therefore, that using anything of Avodah Zarah is awesome. So you're right, the Gemara says, Ella, so no, fine, we're not talking about we use Atzei Asherah, Hoch Maeskin, and Kinshibishl of Atzei Hektish. Rather, we can be talking about we cooked it using wood of Hektish. Vaza Rosem, Hocha, the warning not to use that is from the following. The Pasuk says, Vashereim Tisrifun Ba'esh, burn the Asherahs in fire, but then it continues, Leisasim Kein Lashem Alekechem, don't do something like that to Hashem. So therefore, that means you're not allowed to destroy anything that belongs to Hashem. So in this case, he's also destroying the wood that belongs to Hektish, and therefore he's chayev for that alone. Tosfos points out in that case, he should also be chayev malchus for doing me'ilah. But Tosfos says, because no, we're counting only things that he'd be chayev even if he did less than a shava pruta, whereas when it comes to me'ilah, he's going to be chayev only if the wood is worth a shava pruta, and therefore, in this case, he's not necessarily going to be chayev for me'ilah. Okay, so we can still say ein chiluk malachas b'yomtiv because the Braisa is not in fact listing two different isurim of yomtiv that he was over, but rather a different isur from different areas of halacha, and therefore yes, we can still say as Rava or Rabba said before that if a person does multiple malachas and yomtiv, then he's chayev only one malchus as opposed to on Shabbos he would be chayev separate chatois for each one.